If you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, first 12 verses, to put this back in context for us again. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people in Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." A family, on today, the thought that I share with you comes from that last verse, verse 12. And that thought is simply another way. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Another way. This morning, and reflecting on how God is moving us in this season of transparency to lead us to transformation and triumph. I believe that God is directing us to go another way, as he is leading us out, if you will, possibly, a pandemic within a syndemic. He's leading us from a pandemic, but we still are in a syndemic. I began to give some thought and attention to, you know, what could distract us from going another way, going in the direction of God's perfect will for our lives. And God has called us individually. He's called us collectively. He has called us corporately. But on an individual basis, God is speaking to all of us, I believe, and sharing with us the particular plan that he has for us. And we need to yield to what God is saying to us individually. So the first thing that he shared with me is this, because we want to make sure that we're going in another way. And so the first thought is this: don't let your appetite become your God. Don't let your belly become your God. Herod, the so-called great, because of his position of influence and power and wealth, he was an Edomite. In other words, he was a descendant of Esau. His ancestry, his DNA, is a reminder of the struggle that we too often encounter within and without, as Esau and his brother, his twin, Jacob, struggled with each other inside of their mother's womb. There is within us and without us a struggle between the world of faith versus the satisfaction of our flesh. There's a struggle between God's promise versus the world's compromise. There is a struggle within and without between the purpose that God has called us into versus the perversion of God's loving order as spoken to us by a third voice. There's always this third voice that we got to deal with in our lives. As you may recall, Esau was the older of the two twins, and by privilege and by protocol, he was the firstborn of the two and was going to be entitled to certain privileges and position as the firstborn son. But Esau rejected knowledge. He rejected protocol and sold his passport to prosperity and privilege, his birthright to his brother Jacob. For food, his hunger, his carnal appetite, his belly became his God, and his God became his ruin. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17, we learn this. It says, follow peace with all men, with all women, and holiness without which no man, no woman shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man, any woman fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16 and 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The scriptures remind us that for one morsel of meat, Esau sold his pathway to privilege and prosperity. And even though Esau regretted the consequences of his decisions and sought the restoration of what he had lost with tears, his deed could not be undone. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Family, Esau was grieving. He was grieving. He was grieving. But family, consider this. We can't grieve our way out of what we have disobeyed our way into. We can't do it. There is a place of no repentance, and I hope that none of us get there. Times that we cannot undo the consequences of our own decisions. But the spirit of truth this morning is reminding us, and we need to be woke. And I'm not talking about in the political, social dynamic that we find ourselves in the state of Florida. I know they got an anti-woke law, but I think we can be waked in Christ. And the truth is, my people, we got to remember this, my people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Esau rejected knowledge. Inherit the so-called great. He was ignorant too. That's why he didn't know the scriptures and had to ask the chief priests and the scribes, where is this king of the Hebrew? Family, it is regretful to consider was really rightfully ours because of our appetite. Many in the body of Christ, many in the so-called black community, unfortunately, are sick in their mind, sick in their body, because they have allowed their appetite. I'm still just on self-care, y'all. They have allowed their appetites and their cravings for things, for food, polluted by sugar and salt and sodium and preservatives, destroy their mental and physical health. Rather than, hallelujah, praying for healing after the fact, after the type 2 diabetes, after hypertension, after high blood pressure, is self-induced and self-inflicted. We need to just do. Thank you, Sister Ursula. We need to just do and watch what we eat and drink to avoid compromising God's will for us to prosper and be in health by just saying no to an ungodly and unhealthy lifestyle centered around our belly and our diet and our appetite. It is more clear to me now than ever before that the rejection of knowledge, willful and deliberate ignorance, just around the kitchen table, is too often a generational curse that has led to generational depreciation of financial wealth. Spending more money on health care and not investing enough in self-care. And I'm not talking about just simply a lack of formal education. I'm talking about a deliberate decision to reject the wisdom of God's word, who has been revealed unto us in this present age through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, hallelujah, has already spoken and told us that we can't live by bread alone. We can't live by our appetite alone. We can't live by our taste buds alone. We can't live by bread alone. No. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. Which that brings me to my second point, and that is often the reason why we fail to go another way is not because we don't hear. We just don't want to listen. Hallelujah. Back in the day, there was a TV commercial. I think it was a Sprint commercial, to be exact, and the guy would come on in marketing Sprint superiority over the other cell phone companies, and he would ask this one question: can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? But I want to say, family, that our walking in Christ is not an issue of hearing, but an issue of listening. Our blessings from God are not based on just whether we heard the word, but it is measured in our obedience as to what he has called us to do. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, the scripture says, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Scripture is reminding us that there is a distinction between hearing and listening. Listening means that we have not canceled God in our hearts. We are not as the children of God by faith. We're not part of a canceled culture when it comes to the things of the Lord. Listening means that we are obeying what God has called us to do. In my Christological mind, I can see Jesus standing outside the door, knocking and reminding us of his desire to simply have an intentional relationship, a personal relationship with each of us. If we would just open the door, that he may come in and sup with us, that he may come in and dine with us, that he may come in and just fellowship with us in this hour, family. Jesus is knocking so gently, but are we listening? Are we listening? Will we get up and go another way and open the door to let him into our lives and into our affairs and into our decisions and into our self-care, into our financial situations and into our families and into where we go to work and where we go to school? Are we listening? Are we listening to the gospel? Are we listening to the good news? Are we listening to the message of faith? Are we listening to the spirit of truth? And I'm not talking about from what I'm sharing here today. I'm talking about when we are in our own quiet time. Are we reading the word for ourselves? When we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that we sow into ourselves? Do we sow into ourselves early in the morning, praise and worship? A prayer, an intercession, the word of God. To the wise men who are listening, the message of the birth of God's only begotten Son came in the language of a star, shining ever so brightly in a galaxy, leading them to Jerusalem, to the shepherds, hallelujah, who were listening. The message came in the praise of a song to Mary and Joseph, who were listening. The message came through angels in their native tongue. And in this season of transparency that leads us to transformation and triumph, the message, hallelujah, of God's immeasurable power is so amazing and it's so vast that when spoken, there is no language barrier. Regardless of ethnicity or nationality, regardless of wealth, regardless of education, regardless of social status, when God speaks, there is no language barrier. We can hear from God, but are we listening? When God speaks, there is no language barrier. There may be a strong resistance, and perhaps even initially outright rebellion to what God said. We see that in the story of Jonah. But without question, when he speaks, there is no ambiguity to what he has said and what he has called us to do. There is no language barrier, no communication barrier between us and the Father. Family, there's no need for an interpreter. There's no need for a filter, because when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead us and guide us into all truth and will speak those things, hallelujah, concerning what the Father and the Son agree. So I ask you again, are you listening to him now? Are you listening? Are we listening? Third point I want to make is this. Whenever God's word comes, it always comes with a shift. There's always a shift with a call to move in the direction of his perfect will for our good and for his glory. As soon as we hear the word of truth, it comes with an unctioning to move in another way, in a different direction, to take a different path. The message may come when we connect with a particular verse, a particular passage of scripture. The message may come when we find ourselves in awe of the melodious song of the cardinal singing. We may connect with the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, when we observe and hear the gust of wind, when we hear the roar of the ocean, when we see the majestic twilight of the stars, or are captivated by the illumination of the moon in a black sky. But when, hallelujah, the word of truth comes, it comes with a force and an energy that brings us to a place of transparency, to be transformed, hallelujah, to be rebranded, if you will, by the renewing of our minds, to live a life of Christ and a ministry to perform even greater well. We're no longer babes, hallelujah. We're no longer babies. We're no longer infants, if you will, feeding on the sincere milk of God's word. But in this season, hallelujah, we need to be full grown, and able to chew on the meat which has been well prepared as people who are moral than conquerors through him that loves us. Family, I submit this morning that the last 2 years should teach us, if we are listening, if we're really listening, the last 2 years should teach us that we are no doubt in this season of spiritual and practical transformation. Every aspect of our lives has changed. It's changed personally. It's changed professionally. And yes, it may have caused us some grief. And perhaps we may be even grieving right now. But I'm reminded just to share this with you this morning, in all things, hallelujah, give thanks while we are grieving, in all things, give thanks, in all things, let the word of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in his sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In this season, I'm going to my fourth point here. When the word comes to shift us to go another way, we cannot be deterred by our natural inclination, our natural resistance to leaving other things, other ideas, other people, other practices, other ways, to leave it all behind. We should consider the story of Ziklag and the grief associated with David and his men when they came back home, not being allowed to participate in a fight that wasn't even their own. David and his men had aligned themselves with their enemy, the Philistines, against Israel. But the Philistines had enough sense to know that this alliance just wasn't going to work. So they told David and his men to go back home. And when they came back home to Ziklag, they came back to see that all that they had been taken, that all that they had, their wives, their children, their family, their stuff was gone and it was burning. Came back to see that what they had left in peace have been broken into peace. I don't know if you've ever dealt with that in your life, when you left home and it was in peace, but when you came back home, it was in peace. David found himself in an awful situation, stuck between a rock and a hard place, if you will, seemingly having lost it all, and now even having to account for its mistakes among men who had no doubt lost confidence in him, had lost confidence in his ability to lead. His men wanted to stone him, but David, the word says, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he put on the ephod to seek direction from God. And then the scripture goes on to say, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the truth? Shall I overtake them? Well-placed questions, family. And God answered. God answered. I don't know if y'all know that y'all can just ask God a question and he will give you an answer, just like he did with David. And God answered David and said, pursue. Hallelujah. Pursue. Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. In other words, God said to David, take another way. Pursue, overtake, and without fail, you shall recover all. The story doesn't end there, because David starts out and he's got 600 of his men with them, and they begin their pursuit of the enemy. And they came to the brook of Besor, and 200 of them, when they got to the brook, they just didn't have the stamina to keep going forward. They were worn out, and so they had to be left where they were at the brook. And David and 400 of his men, they did not let that deter God's game plan for them to pursue, overtake, and without fail, recover all. Family. And I hope we're listening this morning. As God calls us to go another way, don't be shocked that not everyone is prepared to fight the battle that lies ahead. Don't be shocked that everybody ain't got the stamina for the fight. Family, not everyone can go where God is calling us to serve. And that's okay. That's okay. At times it's just for me to go. At times it's just for you to go. But when we go, whether together or apart, we have to go in the perfect will of God so that he will be obligated to perfect those things that concern us. In our primary text this morning, the word of God came to the wise men to take another way and shifted their thinking and their feet. He shifted their thinking and their feet. Faith without works is dead. He shifted their thinking and their feet to move in the path of faith and in the path of obedience. The wise men heard, and they did more than just hear the word. They listened, and they took another way home. They disobeyed the king's command. They bypassed protocol having been established, if you will. And they traveled home another way. They traveled home another way by faith. Which brings me to my fifth point. The same path that brought us to where we are in this moment, in time, is not the same path that the Father is calling us to take on our journey home. Paul said it like this, and yet I show you a more excellent way. I want to remind us this morning that if it ain't love, it ain't God, because God is love. So I show you a more excellent way in the path of love that comes from the blessings of true relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not a path born out of the traditions and doctrines and rituals that we have come accustomed to. It is not born out of out of hush harbors and churches that were born out of systemic evil and centuries of racial injustice and inequities and rejection. The path that we ought to take is one born out of a true relationship with Christ Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no woman can come to the Father but by me. The wise men heard the shift of God in the form of a warning in a dream, a word spoken to their unconscious mind, but a mind yet willing to receive the word from God. And it said to them, go home another way. Family, to go home another way basically means that we've got to seek him first. Seek him first, not second, not next, not last, not when it is convenient for us, not when we feel like it, not when it can make us some money, but seek him first. Seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will provide the necessities of life. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will provide unspeakable joy. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add more years to your life. Hallelujah. Oh God, he will add more years to your life as it did King Hezekiah. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will give you peace. Oh, he'll give you more than that. He'll give you perfect peace. He'll give you more than that. He'll give you a peace that will surpass all of your understanding. It will blow your mind. Seek you first, kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will restore everything that the enemy thought he had stolen from us. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will give the stamina and the power to pursue, to overtake, and without fail, recover all. In the season, family, as we go another way, here's my sixth point. I believe God is saying to us, don't be used. Don't be abused. Don't be manipulated. I believe that the Spirit of Truth is moving us to really discern in this hour that there is a difference with distinction between fundraising and faith building. There's a difference between fundraising and faith building, and I hope that we can listen to him now. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, because many fake prophets are gone out into the world, because many lying prophets are gone out into the world. There are many, if you will, fake prophets for prophets. Fake prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S for P-R-O-F-I-T-S. They're going out into the world, and they want you to sow a seed in them under the camouflage of Christ. Family, don't be deceived, and don't buy into the scams, and don't get caught up with situations and the so-called ministries that are simply trying to make merchandise out of you. They're not trying to make you disciple. They're preying on you, P-R-E-Y-N-G. They're preying on you and manipulating you to become their merchandise. Beware the fake prophets for their own prophets. I hope you're listening to me now. Hallelujah. I hope you're listening. I hope we're all listening. Because every day I'm striving to be more like the Good Shepherd. I'm striving to do all I can to protect us, to protect my family from those who would fleece us. Beloved, don't believe every spirit that is asking you to sow a seed. Try the spirit to determine whether or not that spirit is of God. Ask yourself this, since the birth of Christ, since the birth of Christ, when did God start charging the world for what he freely gave unto us through his only begotten Son? God is the head of the church, head of Christ. God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. In John chapter 1, the word says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Protocol having been established. Next well-placed question is this. What does the organizational church give the world for free? What do we give away for free? God gave us his Son for free. What do we as the body of Christ give away for free? And I'm not trying to discourage anybody from giving anything as God has led us to do. I'm just saying that we're not to be manipulated. Everything created by God, everything that's created by God through the word in chapter 1 of Genesis, it was created with the capacity to reproduce. God created everything with a seed to reproduce and to continue life. What God has called and created, God has purpose to perpetuate productivity and prosperity. And that, without question, applies to the body of Christ. If it was an equation in algebra, I think it would be like this. If X, then Y, which means if the traditional and religious organization has yielded to the Holy Spirit, then the organization without fail shall yield fruit. If X, then Y. And what is that fruit? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 says this: for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Money don't get you no fruit. And we can't buy the Holy Ghost. If we want more fruit, then we need to yield more to the Holy Ghost. We need to yield more to the Word, and we need to sow a seed of obedience and go another way. I'm so glad to be with each of you this morning, and because I get a chance to talk with y'all, I thank God for what you do in service and outside of service, and the value that you are adding everywhere that you go. I'm so proud of each of you because you have decided to go another way. You have put feet to your faith in the Spirit and in the manifestation of God's love through you to others. As I conclude, and this is my seventh and final point, as we are called by the Father to go another way, stay the course. Stay the course. The wise men did not deviate as to what God told them to do. They returned home another way. They bypassed Herod. Went home another way. I want to lead us out in Psalm 78. I'm closing it out this morning by reading the psalm as a reminder that to stay the course, we got to keep God first. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestor, the stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the sea. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God. They said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, he struck the rock and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly. But can he also give us bread? Can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was furious. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel. For they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens and by his power made the south wind blow. He rained meat down on them like dust, birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tent. They ate till they were gorged. He had given them what they craved. But before they turned from what they craved, even while the food was still in their mouth, God's anger rose against them. He put to death the sturdiest among them, cutting down the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, they kept on sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to them again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouth, lying to him with their tongue. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time, he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again, they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from their oppression, the day he displayed his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. He turned their river into blood. They could not drink from their streams. He sent swarms of flies that devoured them and frogs that devastated them. He gave their crops to the grasshopper, their produce to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore figs with sleet. He gave over the cattle to the hail and livestock to bolts of lightning. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation, and hostility, a band of destroying angels. He prepared a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave them over to the plague. He struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, the first fruits of manhood in the tents of Ham. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely so that they were unafraid. But the sea engulfed their enemies. And so he brought them to the border of his holy land, to the hill country his right hand had taken. He drove out nations before them and allotted their lands to them as an inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their homes. They put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes, Like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bone. They angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was furious. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle, Shiloh, the tent he had set up among humans. He sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. He gave his people over to the sword. He was furious with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their young women had no wedding song. Their priests were put to the sword, and their widows could not weep. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a warrior wakes from the stupor of wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame. Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hand. He led them. Family, our day. The son of David, the good shepherd, is Jesus Christ, who this morning is calling us to another way. Amen.